This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. And yes, most Americans still believe it is God's green earth. No, really. All the polling shows that the great majority of Americans say they believe in a higher power. They believe in God. And yet you've heard all of the reports about the demise of religion, of people turning away from church, turning away from synagogue, basically moving in a direction of radical secularism and of woke non-religion. But is that even true? There's a terrific column that appeared in the Wall Street Journal, and the headline, Religion is Dying. Don't believe it. So what is it based on? It's based on the work of two professors who have joined other academics with citations that are truly blue chip, gold plated, very impressive. The two professors who are joining us now are Byron Johnson. Dr. Johnson is Distinguished Professor of the Social Sciences and Director of the Institute for Studies of Religion at Baylor University, and Dr. Jeff Levin of Baylor University, who's University Professor of Epidemiology and Population Health and Professor of Medical Humanities and more. Gentlemen, congratulations on the piece in Wall Street Journal and on all your important work. What is it that people get wrong when they say that, particularly among young people, religion is collapsing in this country? Don't the percentage of people who say they are affiliated with anything religious, hasn't that actually gone down?
Well, Michael, thank you for having us on your show. We're both big fans of yours, and I'll jump in, and Jeff will jump in too.
Sure.
And, you know, there's been data for many decades that shows young people actually do attend less often as they enter their teen years. And, you know, so many people, commentators, take that to mean that they have fallen away from the faith. But what typically happens is that they tend to marry and they tend to have children and they tend to come back to those same congregations that they attended less frequently while they were in college, let's say. So it's kind of a cyclical pattern, but people are more interested in the story that, you know, they sleep in instead of going to worship during those years. And so that's one of the myths, is that young people are leaving the faith altogether. The data doesn't support that, even though there has been a spike that we acknowledge among young people that attend less frequently during those late teen years and early 20s.
And part of that also, and you didn't mention this in your column, but I just intuited it from reading it carefully and looking at the work you're citing. Part of it also has to do with people generally putting off marriage. People used to get married. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I think about it, my parents got married when they were 21 and 22,
sure,
respectively. That's rare today. And so the kids are putting off religion and parental responsibility.
I think those two things go kind of hand in hand. And you're right, marrying much later, and it does affect all kinds of things, including surveys on religion. I think the one thing that you'll see when you look at the article that we wrote, which, by the way, we had a very difficult time getting published.
Wow.
The reviewers, you know, we go through a peer review process, and the reviewers almost uniformly didn't like our paper. And so it was a struggle just to get it published, because there is such a a daunting narrative out there that religion is dying, and so many people have bought that narrative. And for our findings to come back against that and push so hard against that narrative, reviewers just didn't like it, in spite of the data that we presented. And so it took us a while to get it published, and that's why we were delighted when, once we finally got it published, that we could get this piece in the Wall Street Journal, because we knew they had a significant audience that would be able to see that, guess what, the findings don't really resonate with the narrative that you hear so much.
If I can weigh in, I mean, I think there's what Byron alluded to is true. When you push back against the revealed narrative, the revealed truth, it's hard to get your message out. But when it comes to the data that we presented in our article, the issue actually is pretty simple. And in a nutshell, it's this. I started noticing, I don't know, gosh, 25 years ago, 20 years ago, a proliferation of these news stories about the rise of the nuns. And by that, we mean N-O-N-E-S, not Catholic nuns. People who reported no religion or purportedly atheists. And this kind of didn't make sense to me, given my observations of religion in this country. And when we did a deep dig of the research studies that were done and the research instruments that were done, what seemed to be going on was when sociologists developed surveys to inquire about people's religion, they'll ask certain questions, one of which oftentimes is, what religion do you belong to, or what's your denomination? And sometimes these questions are done very well, and sometimes they're done kind of slapdash. And what seems to be happening is that people aren't finding their particular denomination or church or religion on a list, and so they're checking none of the above. And what's happened over time is that these none of the above, this number seems to be going up, which simply means that people are going to different sorts of churches or different denominations, or they're not going to mainline denominations that appear in these lists. And this has been conflated with non-belief. And so as a result, we've seen all these news stories that people aren't religious, that churches are dying. And even now we're seeing, you know, these reports as a rise of atheism. And, Michael, there's no evidence that there are any proportionally more atheists now than there were 80 years ago.
Well, not only that, you have these numbers that I had actually seen before and I cited on the air before, that among self-described agnostics, people who claim they don't know whether God exists or not, that more than a quarter go to church every month,
right,
or more. I mean, they're regular churchgoers, right?
This is what was fascinating to us. Of course, figuring out that the people that check none of the above aren't really nuns, that was kind of easy. That was low-hanging fruit. But when we dug deeper, people that self-identified as atheists or even are agnostics or didn't believe in God, some proportion of them pray. They believe in God. They believe in Jesus. They go to church. They believe in heaven and hell, even the atheists. So it's really, you know, it's really fascinating. And again, this has been misreported. We probably all remember the childhood game of telephone. I've said on numerous occasions, not publicly like this, this is like a game of telephone that's gone completely awry. The data just do not support this narrative that religion is dying, or it's the end of religion, or that atheists are on the rise. And if that were true, we would report it. So be it. But it's just not true.
Okay, this is all fascinating, and we're going to continue the discussion, because one of the things you say in your article here is that religion is actually very vital, it's vibrant, it's growing, but it's different. And I want to get into just how it is different, and the where American religious commitment, which is still there, is changing in its nature. We're speaking to two scholars who have written a terrific piece in Wall Street Journal. They've combined with other academics for a generalized study, which is revealing and potent and powerful. Byron Johnson and Jeff Levin of Baylor University in Texas. We'll be right back on the idea that, hey, guess what? God is not dead. And neither is the worship of that God. We will be right back. If you think Washington State's headed in the right direction, well, then this message is not for you. But if you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes, and its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Washington State is our home, and it needs WPC more than ever. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Longevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Longevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
On the Michael Medved Show, honored to have Dr. Byron Johnson and Dr. Jeff Levin, both of Baylor University, distinguished academics who have written a potent piece in the Wall Street Journal and a longer article that it is based on. The piece in the Journal headlined, "Religion is Dying, Don't Believe It." Well, somebody who does believe it, gentlemen, and I wanted to throw this out to you, just came up during the break today. MSNBC has the following headline. It says, "Why America Needs a New Kind of Atheism Right Now." And it says an energetic atheism can tackle the twin crises of creeping theocracy and the death of conventional religion. And it, which seems a little bit contradictory. I mean, how can you have creeping theocracy, which is a government that is dominated by faith, if conventional religion has died? I'm not sure how those two things go together. But what do you say about the need for a new kind of energetic atheism to deal with the crisis of creeping theocracy? Is this something we need?
Well, you know, one of the things I was thinking about, Michael, when you mentioned that new headline, was the fact that when you use the word hypocrite, and I think the first thing that pops into people's minds is this saying, churches are full of hypocrites. I just grew up hearing that expression. But when you look at our data, and it's basically data from five national surveys, what you find is, as we mentioned earlier, a significant number of atheists and agnostics actually do pray to God, and they believe, have these religious experiences. So maybe we do need a new kind of atheism that's not full of hypocrites, because some of these people are obviously quite hypocritical about their atheism. Anyways, Jeff, you may have a comment, too.
Michael, you said that the part of the headline said something about the death of conventional religion or
right.
something like
yes,
that.
Yes, that's the second.
I don't see that that's been happening. The mainline, the so-called Protestant mainline or the liberal denominations have really been fading for about 50 or 60 years. What's on the upswing have been the more have been denominations professing more traditional belief, the evangelical world, the Pentecostal world, the neo-fundamentalism. And so I don't know that conventional religion has been dying. I'm not even sure what that means. One of the things that we found, we mentioned it in our study, it wasn't part of our analysis, but there are tons, Byron can probably speak to this, new denominations forming, there are mega churches, there is a tremendous amount of revival going on the traditional side of the religious spectrum that simply isn't caught in surveys of religion or in censuses of religious bodies. And this is true not just in Christianity, but thinking also about Judaism. Most surveys tend to show that the Reform movement is the largest movement in Judaism. For a lot of reasons, I think that the Reform Judaism's numbers are hugely overinflated and that Orthodox Judaism's numbers are underestimated. For one, Orthodox Jews on the whole tend not to answer surveys. And so, and also there's the Havarah movement, the movement of people getting together outside of normal religious institutions and worshiping, davening together. These things aren't caught in surveys. And so again, I think this is another that because of this meme keeps getting reinforced that the religion's dying. Well, maybe the watered-down religion that people remember from their childhood, maybe that's kind of fading away in some sense. But religion as a whole, especially denominations of believers, strong religious believers, is on the rise in this country. There are more practicing Christians in this country now than there have ever been.
Well, when you say practicing Christians, you mean not just attending church, but a regular Bible study. I happen to have producers, both of my producers on this show are very serious Christians, and one of them just took a week off to teach Bible school. At his church with his son. And I mean, all of this wholesome stuff, which again, you're right, is not caught by media and by churches. Do you think that by surveys and reports that come out, do you think part of that is because so many of the media who are reporting on faith are themselves secular?
I think that's a big part of it myself. I do. I think that, you know, they look at the data and they see what they want to see in the data. So, for example, to your point, Michael, the Pew Religion Center did a survey a few years ago where they found that 44% of Americans had switched religions from the religion of their youth. And so the headline by the media was 44% of Americans have left the faith. But what what the findings really indicated is that religion is so important, and that that means that people will shop around to get the best product they can, which means I may have been raised a Presbyterian, but now I'm a Baptist, or I used to be Catholic and now I'm Anglican. And so we see that as an indicator of vibrancy. We don't see that as a falling away of the faith. In fact, many of them, they feel like their denominations may have, as Jeff was indicating, left some of the central tenets of the faith. And so they have moved. And some of them have moved to these non-denominational churches. And so, again, you see in the data what you want to see. And I think for many of the media, they want to tell a story that kind of resonates with their own personal experience. And Jeff, I interrupted you. Jump in.
No. You know, another point, we have a colleague, the highly esteemed religious historian, Dr. Thomas Kidd, who's now at Midwest Baptist. He used to be with us at ISR. And we our group, the group of us, made a presentation at the National Press Club, I guess, better part of 10 years ago, 9 or 10 years ago, on a lot of this information. And one of the things that Dr. Kidd presented was he traced this kind of talking point, this narrative that religion's dying, it's going away. He traced this to colonial times. And it seems that every few decades, it pops up again in the media. And what was fascinating was some of the headlines we've seen over the last 10, 15, 20 years, it was the same wording that appeared in, I don't know if there were newspapers back then, pamphlets or whatever, in the 1700s.
It appeared, I wrote about this in my book, The 10 Big Lies About America. The 10th big lie is that America is in an irreversible moral decline. And that lie began in 1640. It was written down in the diary of William Bradford at Plymouth Plantation. This is the Pilgrims. The Pilgrims were also worried about the irreversible moral decline, which doesn't seem to be irreversible at all, which is, again, the whole essence of your work in terms of religiosity. We're going to have to continue this conversation and talk to people out there who are listening, who want to counteract some of the cliches that are so widely accepted about the death of faith. Meanwhile, could part of that have to do with wishful thinking politically of one kind or another? We will get to that and the connection of politics and faith and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Justice Department is suing Idaho over the state's abortion law. Attorney General Merrick Garland telling reporters the law doesn't allow exceptions in cases where a woman's health is in jeopardy. The Senate Republican leader is taking more shots at the big Democratic economic package.
The Inflation Reduction Act won't reduce inflation any more than the American Rescue Plan actually rescued America.
Senate Minority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, saying it would trigger job-killing tax hikes during a recession. He again called it a reckless taxing and spending spree. Voters are going to the polls in five states to decide matchups for the fall election and other key issues. In Kansas, they're voting on a pro-life bill known as Amendment 2 that affirms that Kansas's state constitution doesn't provide a right to abortion. USA Radio News.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that last up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Okay, one of the great things about actually coming in and doing this show from the station rather than doing it from a closet in my home, which I do most of the time, but I'm in the station right now as I'm sitting right across from Jeremy, and Greg is in the other room. And by the way, he's there to take your calls if you want to call 1-800-955-1776. But things come up during the break, and we talk about it, and sometimes I can share with you. Jeremy just found a thing on Nextdoor, and people are familiar with what Nextdoor is. It's where people share things relative to a given neighborhood, and this is about a neighborhood somewhere in the Seattle area. We don't want to be more specific than that, where somebody had a letter left at his door, and the letter said, "Dear blank," I won't say the name. First sentence of the letter was, "God promises that your peace can become just like a river serene, abundant, and ongoing." And that's Isaiah 48:17-18. And then it says, "You are warmly invited to join us in learning how to enjoy peace now and in the future at the 2022 Pursue Peace Convention of Jehovah's Witnesses. Peace involves more than absence of conflict, but also illness, finances, our weaknesses, or damaged relationships." Okay, this seems like you're very, very warmly invited. The individual sent the letter back with a sort of fervent comment. He said, "Do not come near my door. I'm an atheist, and never will I tolerate any religion coming near my door. Five exclamation points. No solicitation, period. Two exclamation points. whomever is mailing these out, I don't know you. I don't like any kind of proselytizing at my door or in my mailbox. If you're on here of the Jehovah's Witnesses, take me off your list. Really? You know, it's so interesting. I know that there are people who respond to any attempt at proselytization very defensively. But I think they're usually people who don't have a religious faith of their own. I find it always fascinating, and one of the things that my very deeply religious dear friend Mark, who makes practice when Latter-day Saints LDS young men come knocking at the door, as happens, and generally they're wearing white shirts and skinny ties, and they're incredibly sincere and devoted to their wonderful faith. And he invites him and he says, look, I'm not a good target for you. I'm religious and I'm Jewish, but come in and have a cookie. And people, particularly on hot days, they enjoy that. I mean, this just came in from Christian in California. He says, could a possible explanation for lower church, synagogue, and mosque attendance be preference to watching services online at home over going in person? That's what my family has been doing lately since the pandemic started. Well, I'm sure that's part of what is going on right now. But the interesting thing is I'm less conscious of that, because one of the things about the Sabbath in the Jewish tradition is you don't use, if you're observant, you don't use online. You don't use electronics. You don't use tapes. Or basically, there is something very special that I think we've all discovered since the pandemic and the lockdowns have stopped. There's something very special about actually being able to see people in person. And that was part of what happened with the sentencing of Guy Reffitt that we spoke about yesterday. He was the January 6th rioter who was sentenced to 7 years in the Capitol riot case. And his daughter spoke to the court after his sentencing. And she was not protesting the sentencing, but she was defending her father. And she talked a little bit about his mental illness. She actually had a great anger toward someone else. And this is a gentleman now who, because of his participation in the riot and traveling across the country to participate in that riot, he's going to be spending 7 years behind bars. And he insisted on bringing it to trial. But this is what his daughter had to say. This is clip one.
To mark my dad as this horrible person, and then having him prosecuted like this when somebody is maybe even able to get elected again, doesn't seem right to me. Trump deserves life in prison if my father's in prison for this long.
I'm not sure that President Trump is going to respond. And again, there was also an interview with the son of the rioter, the son who helped to turn him in, who was threatened with death by his father. It's not a happy family situation. But here's what he said on CNN, the son of Guy Reffitt, who is going to be serving 7 years for the January 6th riot case. This is clip 11.
I mean, I'm not happy at all, and I haven't been happy through this whole situation. No one in my family has either, but to say I'm surprised would be a lie. I mean, everything my dad did, he's his own person, and his action has consequences, but I'm not happy at all.
Do you think he deserves this length of sentence?
Absolutely. He deserves some time, for anything, to rehabilitate, for his mental health. He deserves a lot of safety nets. but yes, he does.
See, the one thing that is most interesting here, and you hear terms like mental health, and you look at a guy like this guy, Reffitt, and his family, when he got on the plane, or he may have come in a car, I don't know how he came to Washington, D.C., but for people who went to Washington, D.C., who heard the president speak, who then marched up to the Capitol while they were going through the formalized certification of the final votes, of the electoral votes, everything had been decided. There had been 60 court cases, which Trump and his attorneys had lost. What did they think would happen when they came storming into the Capitol building? In other words, what was the purpose? What was the best case scenario? What it's fascinating because this is the one thing that the January 6th committee hasn't really gotten to. Was, yes, you have crackpots like John Eastman, who believed that somehow if they persuaded or intimidated Mike Pence into sending refusing to accept the certified electors from enough states, that they could get Biden, by getting Biden to lose 36 electoral votes, they could have done that. But this is one of those things that, particularly on primary day, that we have to focus on. Because on primary day, there's so much focus on Arizona. Arizona's 11 electoral votes. If you need 270 to win, Biden got 306. If he lost Arizona, he would be down to 295, right? And that means he still would have had plenty of electoral votes. It would have taken three of the smaller states or two of the larger states to get anywhere close. We'll be right back on the MedVet Show. Spring and summer, worth celebrating, don't you think? Particularly in the Northwest, but anywhere across the country. And something else worth celebrating, emerging from the pandemic and all the restrictions associated with it. So you're going to be more active. Why not be more ready for all of that activity with Relief Factor? This is a dietary supplement. It is totally natural. I wouldn't be without it. I take it every day. It's gotten me through the hard days of winter and pandemic and more. And helps you feel better, whether it's aches and pains or Relief Factor can help. It's made from natural products, including turmeric and fish oil that is all blended together in a proprietary blend that actually works for people around the world. It's a great product. You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. Go to michaelmedved.com and just click on the banner for Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP. As slim as possible.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
On the Michael Medved Show, the fears about the Nancy Pelosi visit to Taiwan, at least so far, unrealized. There was actually speculation by a number of defense experts that they might at least send up a Chinese aircraft to sort of try to divert her plane. That didn't happen. She has landed. Everything has gone okay so far. But meanwhile, in the other front on foreign policy, and we'll be speaking to Michael Rubin about both of these issues coming up at the American Enterprise Institute, there is still this belief on the part of Marjorie Taylor Greene and her crowd that somehow the killing, the justified death, and by the way, he's been on trial. He's been charged because he was one of the key planners for September 11th. And not only has he not denied it, he's taken pride in that. That's always, to me, been one of the most despicable, irresponsible, nonsensical elements of the 9/11 truthers. Is, in other words, oh no, it wasn't Al-Qaeda. This was actually the U.S. government setting up a situation to try to make Al-Qaeda look like they were responsible. No Al-Qaeda people ever took that position. They were proud of it. They honored the people who had died on taking those planes into the buildings and taking the plane into the Pentagon. I mean, how asinine is it to believe that people would actually follow this fake, or that the people who had lost their loved ones on the airplanes would go along with a fake? It's almost every bit as stupid as the idiotic Alex Jones obsession with claiming that these killings at Sandy Hook didn't actually happen, that those weren't dead children, that people had gone through this charade of pretending that their children had been killed. And can you imagine? In any event, President Biden spoke out, and it's actually an important reminder. And could the president have done it more effectively? Absolutely. But he's right about this. Terror remains a threat. We have been very lucky. We have made progress in the war on terror. Part of that was the Afghanistan situation. The killing of Zawahiri was in Afghanistan, even though Zawahiri is Egyptian and was working with the Saudis. If you read his life story, it's horrifying because he had given his life as a physician to nourishing Osama bin Laden based upon the fact that Osama bin Laden would be successful at killing thousands and thousands of Americans, which he was. And this is what the President of the United States had to say about taking out the current head of al-Qaeda. Clip 5.
We make it clear again tonight that no matter how long it takes, no matter where you hide, if you are a threat to our people, the United States will find you and take you out.
Okay, strong and appropriate. And he also recalled some of Zawahiri's greatest hits in terms of his record of terrorism. Clip 6.
For decades, he was the mastermind behind attacks against Americans, including the bombing of the USS Cole in 2000, which killed 17 American sailors and wounded dozens more. He played a key role in the bombing of U.S. embassies in Kenya and Tanzania, killing 224 and wounding over 4,500 others. He carved a trail of murder and violence against American citizens, American service members, American diplomats, and American interests. And since the United States delivered justice in bin Laden, 11-year Lahiri has been a leader of al-Qaeda, the leader. From hiding, he coordinated al-Qaeda's branches and all around the world, including setting priorities for providing operational guidance that called for and inspired attacks against U.S. targets. He made videos, including the recent weeks, calling for his followers to attack the United States and our allies.
Okay, in other words, this hasn't disintegrated the idea of terrorism as a threat to the United States. It's been set back. We have made progress. We are safer than we were. But to say that this threat is gone is like every bit as foolish as people who say, oh, yeah, no, there's no problem with COVID-19 now. And we're no longer in 19, we're in 22, and that's all behind us. No, still a threat. And Brett Baer at Fox News, who is certainly one of my favorite voices on Fox News, actually recognized that this is the kind of thing for which the president can take some credit. This is clip 9.
You're going to hear a moment tonight that will be President Biden's bin Laden moment, because he will give a speech, we're told, that deals with the fight against terrorism that has been ongoing, even though we haven't talked about it a lot. Ayman al-Zawahiri, you see on the screen there, had been a leader, a spiritual leader, and also someone who is fomenting terrorism in different groups around the world. This is a huge, huge win for the U.S., and we expect to hear that and where the fight goes from here as far as taking out other terrorists.
And the idea that this is part of his religious obligation, again, all the photographs of Zawahiri that have appeared that actually show that big lump on his forehead, and he's proud of that lump on his forehead from banging his forehead onto the floor as part of his prayer. And this is not typical. None of it is typical of Islam. It's not mainstream Islam. And again, America has plenty, plenty, plenty of Muslim patriots who serve our country in the armed services and participate in every aspect of American life. But and it's many people who are deeply committed to Islam as a faith who are most resentful and most implicated and unjustly so by the evils of groups like al-Qaeda and of sick masterminds and a physician at that, like Zawahiri. This is a Biden spokesman, administration spokesman on national security, John Kirby, confirming to CNN about what Al-Qaeda is doing right now. Clip 13.
Jake Sullivan says we are communicating directly with the Taliban about their obligations not to allow Al-Qaeda to use Afghanistan as a basis for plotting. What does that look like? What is he saying? What is the White House saying? Yeah. And what are the consequences of them not doing that?
We have multiple channels to communicate with the Taliban, and we're using those channels. We've made it very clear that this was a violation, not that we believe, not that we think, it was a violation of the Doha Agreement, which specifically says that it commits them to not allowing Afghanistan to be used as a safe haven or a launching pad for attacks against the United States or other of our allies and partners. And clearly, because Mr. Zawahiri, he was not only there, but was actively encouraging his followers to plot and plan attacks against the American interests and the American homeland, that's a violation. We've made that very clear.
Okay, and the idea that the Taliban may be violating the Doha Agreement, is that going to be of deep concern to them in the midst of an American election? Probably not. What does this mean? Is there anything at all to the idea that the entire thing may have been deliberately timed by the United States simply as a election prop to help shaky Democrats? We will talk about that and much more. Michael Rubin over at American Enterprise Institute has an important piece which is headlined Zawahiri is gone. Here's what Biden must explain. That'll be explained to us by Michael Rubin. We will also be speaking to Jonathan Allen, senior political correspondent for NBC, who will help us take a quick tour of the election results tonight, what we should anticipate, what it will mean, and where the two parties are going with a classic confrontation awaiting in November of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for the product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. You know, most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Are you experiencing fatigue and brain fog? So many people complain that in the afternoon, their energy seems to disappear and the brain becomes foggy. Balance 7 neutralizes the acids in your body. This aids your digestion. The energy from food is more effective, and afternoon brain fog fades away. Balance 7 is the answer. Go to balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, balance7.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.